Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Iruvin Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's just turn back to the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, where you will see the Dibur HaMaschil that's relevant to our shiur. There, the Gemara was quoting from the Mishnah, and it said, Chetzio lebeis hamenuga, v'chatzi chetzio lifsoil es hagvia. The Mishnah had taught several other halachas concerning bread and sizes, coming off the opening of the Mishnah regarding the shiur, the dimension or the size of the bread that constitutes mozon shtei sudos. So, as we said, there were a few other halachas taught alongside that, and half that bread of the mozon shtei sudos for Eruv would be the amount of time for beis hamenuga, which has to do with the amount of time that one would tarry in a house stricken with tzoras in order for one to become tomei. And half of that would be the amount that would pasul lifsol segvia, is to render a person tome, a din de rabbonon, that the oichlin tomein could be metama a person. How much? So it's half of the aforementioned shiur. And now we turn to the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, where we see Tana, a Tanaic source that teaches the chatzi 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 L'tamei tumas oichlin. One half of the shiur just before, it would come out that if you're keeping track of the divisions that we're making, you would now be at 1/8 of a kikar, would be the amount of food that would be able to transmit tumas oichlin. That once food becomes tamei, does it have the capacity of transmitting tuma on another stage to another piece of food? So if it has this shiur of chatzi, chatzi, chetzio, which, as we said, it would be 1/8 of a kikar. Now, how much is 1/8 of a kikar? So in terms of a measurement using eggs as the standard, the result would be, and Rashi goes through the calculations, according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, it would turn out to be 3/4 of a beitza, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be 1 beitza. And a little chart that accompanies this you can find on the side of the Gemara. The first point we want to make is that a kav equals 24 beitzim. And we had seen already measurements in terms of a kav. For example, we saw that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said that for an eruv you would need 1/4 of a kav. That would equal the mozon shtei seudos, and therefore 1/4 of a kav is 6 beitzim. Half of that for beis hamenuga, 3 beitzim. Half of that would be for lifsos agvia, 1.5 beitzim. And for tumas ochlin, which is our current discussion, 3/4 of a beitza. And you can see the chart doing the same thing with regard to Reb Shimon, whose shiur for an Eruv was in terms of 8 beitzim, and working your way down, you get to 1 beitza for Tumas Ochlin. Now, we turn to the continuation of the Gemara, the Tano Didon, my time alotoni Tumas Ochlin. Why didn't our Tano mention Tumas Ochlin in the series of fractions of breakdowns that we had in the Mishnah? Erevin, we had Beis HaMenuga, Lifsol Segvia. Why didn't our Mishnah make mention of the Shi'ur for Tumas Ochlin? So the Gemara answers, and take note of the fact that this is a long answer. The Gemara says, Mishum de lo shavu shi'urayu lahadodi. And that is that the last shiur, the last quantity for Tumas Ochlin, does not represent 1/2 of the previous shiur in an exact fashion. Desanyo, and this idea will be spelled out as we go on in the Gemara. Kamo shiur chatzipras, how much is the amount of food that would be metama the person? That's what we called before, lifsoil es hagvia. So in this Tanaic source, we'll see two opinions. The first opinion is, shnei beitzim chosir kima, that's two eggs minus, kima is a little bit, two eggs minus a small amount, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer, shnei beitzim shochakos. That's sochakos. Two beitzim, sochakos means two large eggs. Two large eggs worth of food would be, if it was tomei and one ate it, he, the person, would become tomei. And as we said before, tomei midorabonon. Shi'er Rebbe, Rebbe's quantity for this tumas gevia, or as we call chatzi pras, is shnei beitzim v'oid. Two eggs and extra. L'kam of oid, how much is that extra? Echod me'esrim bebeitza. 1/20 of an egg. So if you're dealing with two eggs, it would be 1/10 of an egg. Because the shiur itself was two beitzim, and per egg, the extra amount is 1/20. So 2 × 1/20 would be 1/10. That is as far as the shiur for lifsol es hagvia. So we have three opinions here. How much tomei food would result in the person after eating it becoming tomei. V'ilu gabi tumas oichlin tanya, when it comes to the issue of how much food would be capable of transmitting tuma onwards, which we referred to before as tumas oichlin tanya, here we have a source that says Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Doisa Omru, kebeitza she'omru, when we speak about a beitza, an egg's worth, it's kamoha ukikli posa, the egg and its shell. V'chachomim omrim kamoha beloy kliposa, an egg without its shell. So what we have to do now, and we'll do it through the Rashi, the quantities we just saw for tumas ochlin are not exactly a half of the quantity stated for lifsol es hagvia. When we say it's not exactly, what it turns out to be is it's a little more than half or a little less than half. If we glance down in the Rashi, kamoa ukeklipasa, Rashi says, Almo loy shavi lechatzi shiur depsu kvia. It's not exactly half of the quantity for tumas haguf. Te'i l'Reb Yehuda, if you focus on Reb Yehuda, who spoke about the shiur of chatzi pras for tumas haguf, he had mentioned two eggs minus a kima. So l'Reb Yehuda, choser kima boi mehevei. The shiur of one beitza, it should have said one beitza minus a kima. You don't see that. V'i l'Reb Yossi, and as far as tumas oichlin being half of Rabbi Yossi's shi, Rabbi Yossi appeared in the case of tumas haguf, beitza ukliposo shochakos boi meheve. It should have said the shiur for tumas oichlin is one egg, its shell, and being a large egg with its shell. Ve'i l'Rebbe, ve'odois boi de hainu tvei. According to Rebbe, you would have seen one egg and the od, which is more than that which we see in the tumas ochlin source. Let us continue now in the Gemara. After having seen the answer to the question of why our Tana did not mention tumas ochlin, Omar Rav from Bar Papa, Omar Rav Chisda, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. The source we saw above regarding a half a pras being the shiur for psuk via, that is the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Their names were explicitly stated in the source. Avol, Rav Chisda goes on to tell us, Avol Chachomim Oimrim, as far as the shiur of lifsol es hagvia, kebeitza umechza sochakos, 1.5 large eggs. Uman Chachomim, who is that? Answer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. Well, That is fairly obvious. The Gemara asks, Pshita, what do I need Rav Chisda for? In other words, we know that Rabbi Yochanan Broka said that the shiur for Eruv is 6 beitzim. Half of that, the Mishnah said, half of that is for Beis HaMenuchah, that way 3 beitzim, and half of that is Lifsol Sikviel, would be 1.5 beitzim. So that when Rav Chisda says that according to the Chachomim it's 1.5 beitzim, I understand that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's teaching. So what does Rav Chisda add that I wouldn't have known on my own? The Gemara answers, Sochakos also lashminon. The eggs referred to must be large eggs. This is something that Rav Chisda tells me when he said, Kebeitzo mechso sochakos. The sochakos aspect we wouldn't have known without Rav Chisda. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he tells us the following. Shiger Bunyus. L'Rebbe Bunyus is the name of a person, so Bunyus sent to Rebbe. Mudyo de Kundis. Mudyo is a se'ah. It's a measure. It's a dry measure. And in this case, the dry measure's name is Mudyo de Kundis. De min Ne'usa. From a place called Ne'usa. Vishir Rebbe, and Rebbe calculated that in this Mudyo de Kundis, there were Moson Vishva Esrei Bayin. 217 eggs. So the Gemara asks, "Hosa'ah dehecha, which sa'ah corresponds to 217 eggs?" And as you can see, we go on in the Gemara with a series marking. You see a diamond that appears along with a double underline. If we look at the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Shi'ir Rebbe Sa' Umotza Bo, 217 Beitzim. And under our Mivneh heading, we have a diamond with a double underline. Each time the Gemara will be, it's a Chipus, we've written Chipus, Be'ez Sa' Medubar, Shenucha Limtsoi Bo, 217 Beitzim. Which kind of Sa'? Which dry measure that we would call a Sa'? In which you would find 217 Beitzim. It might be pointed out by way of background that in history, the different measures were enlarged to include more than the previous measure with the same name. This will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. So after the Gemara asks which kind of sa'ah, the first diamond, E de Midboris, if you're referring to the Midboris sa'ah, the fact is, Kuf Mem Dalet Havya, in a Midboris sa'ah, there were 144 eggs. E de Yerushalmis, Kuf Ayin Gimel Havya, that's 173. The E de Tziporis, if in the Tziporis sa'ah, which was increased above the Yerushalmis, the Yerushalmis having been increased over the Midboris. So if you're referring to the Tziporis Sa'ah, Reish Zayin Havin, that's 207 eggs would be found in there. The Gemara says, and we should point out that each Sa'ah, as time went on, we saw there was an increase of a sixth. A sixth is you take the original number, divide it into 5 parts, and add one of those to create a new number. So that if you would have divided 144 by 5, and then add that number to 144, you'll come out with 173. Rashi goes through the calculations, but for our purposes, having stated the numbers explicitly, we go on trying to figure out how do you get to 217 beitzim. The Gemara answers, Li Oilom de Tziporis. Rebbe's story involved a sa'ah that really corresponded to the Tziporis sa'ah. However, from 207, how do you get to 217? Aisi chalsa shodi olayhu. Chalsa is chalo. Chalo is a tithe removed from dough. and that tithe is given to the Kohen. So what you have to do is imagine the 207 batzim in the Sipori saw is a number after the challah was removed. So the Gemara goes on to analyze chalsa kama havyon. Well, challah is how much? Well, if you take 207 and attempt to and decide to tithe the challah of that, you will get to, and Rashi once again goes through the calculations, you would take 1/24 of 207, which works out to be approximately 8. And as I said, Rashi goes through the mathematics. There's a little bit of extra, there's balance here that we're not focusing on, but if you divide 207 by 24, 1/24, that is the quantity one is expected to remove from dough, he will come out with approximately 8. 8 eggs worth would be 1/24 of 207. The Gemara asks, Akati Botzer Lei. Well, even if you do that, you take 207 and add 8 to that, you don't get to 217, you get to 215. Elo, I see the Uidois de Rebbe. So, this is a new calculation. It means you, Rebbe mentioned before that when we talk about a quantity that's measured in terms of eggs, it's an egg plus a, plus something, which is 1/20 of an egg. So, what are we supposed to do now? Shodi Olayu, you would take 207 and multiply that by 1/20. That's 207 eggs, and each egg has an extra 1/20 of it that figures into the calculation of these sizes. You get to 10 7/20. So then you would take that number, 10 7/20, and add it to the original 207 eggs in a Tzipori saw. The Gemara asks, Ihochi havi le tvei. Well, it comes out to more than 217. You take 10 7/20, add it to 207, you get to 217 7/20. You've gone over the amount that Rebbe found. The Gemara answers, Kevon de lo havi kebetza, since you don't have a full egg more, you have only 7/20 of an egg more, lo choshiv le, so it doesn't figure in the calculation. Tonu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source features the different se'ahs that we mentioned and their increase over the previous se'ah. Se'ah Yerushalmis yisera al midboris shtus. The Yerushalmi se'ah is a sixth greater than the midboris se'ah. There is a differential of 29. That means if you take 29 and add it to 144, you come out to 173. And that is a sixth of 173. V'shel tziporis yisera al Yerushalmis shtus. The tzipori saw is a sixth greater than the Yerushalmi saw by a sixth. The differential there between the Yerushalmi and the Tzipori is a differential of 34. So you would be taking 1/6 of 207, and that would be the number you get. Again, there are some fractional differences, but we're not focusing on those. Now, the climax of this source is the following, and this will be the subject of the discussion as the Gemara ensues. Nimseis shel Tziporis Yisera al Midboris Shlish. We'll just translate first, because, but realizing this is not going to make sense. It says that the Tziporis Sa'ah, which measures 270 eggs, is greater than the Midboris Sa'ah by a third. Now, the difference between the numbers is 63. In other words, you add to 144, you add 63, you get to 207. So now this number, 63, is portrayed in this source by being a third the tzipporos being a third grader. So the Gemara asks, and it goes through a number of stages, and that's what the upcoming triangle highlights. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, and there are triangles. We have listed five of them. Nisyonos, these are nisyonos lahasbur habraisa yisera al midboris shlish. What does it mean to say that 63 somehow is a third greater of the midboris by a third? So let's see how the Gemara analyzes this. After asking shlish deman, a third of what? In lema shlish de midboris, that the 63 is a third of midboris. Michti shlish de midboris kamahavi. How much is a third of 144? Arboyin vitamne. What you do is you take 48. Arboyin vitamne is 48. You multiply that by 3. That's how you get to 144. So a third of 144 is 48. The ilu odfa, whereas the extra of the tzipori over the midboris, shisen utlas, is 63. So to suggest that 63 is a third of the midboris, that's simply not true. The ela shlish di Yerushalmis, maybe the 63 represents a third of the Yerushalmis. Well, and we know the Yerushalmis is 173. Shlish dido kamahavi. Well, what is a third of 173? Chamshin v'tamni nechi tilsa. It comes out to 58 minus a third, or in other terms, 57 and two-thirds. Vilu odfa, whereas the odef, the extra of a tzipori over a midboris, is shisin utlas, is 63. So we're not making progress. We're still dealing with what do you mean when you say that the tzipori is greater by the midboris by a third? The ela, the tzipori. Maybe when we say that the tziporis is greater by a third over the midboris, it means a third of the tziporis. Well, let's see. So what we have to do is then take a one-third of the tzipori quantity. Shlish didol kamahavi. Well, a third of 207 is how much? Shivin nechichado. It's 70 minus 1, which means 60. The odfa, shishim v'shalosh. Whereas the odef, the extra of tzipori over midbaris, is merely 63 eggs, not 69 eggs. The elo omar rabirmiya. A fourth attempt. Hachi ko'omar. We take the original source and read it as follows. Nimse sol shel tzipori yisera al midboris karoiv l'shlish shelo. U'shlish shelo karov l'mechza de midboris. So we're adding quite a few words and trying to make sense. So the translation would be that the result of the tzipori saw, which is 207 eggs, is more than the midboris. It's 63 more than the midboris, which represents almost a third of it, meaning a third of the tzipori. A third of the tzipori is 69. So we're saying that 63 is close to 69. Ushlish shelo, and the 69, which represents a third of the tzipori, is korov lemechzo de midboris, is almost half of the midboris. Now, half of the midboris is 72, so 69 is almost half of the midboris. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina doesn't accept Rav Yirmiyahu's explanation of the original source, challenging it on the grounds of midi korov korov kotoni. Does the original source have these terms that you are adding into it? And we dashed underline where the word korov appears in Rav Yirmiyahu's rereading. But in the original source, it doesn't suggest that. Elo Amar Ravina. So Ravina, who opposed Rav Yirmiyahu's approach, comes up with his own reading of the original source. So Ravina says, Hochi ko'omar, nimtse shlish shel tzipori bevoidoyos shel Rebbe. Now, we explained before, we made mention of the Tzipori, once you add the Va'odios of Rebbe, Va'odios is the plural of the word Va'od. So once you added that amount, and we came out to 217 and 7/20, because what we had done originally was we multiplied 207 times 1/20. So the third of the Tzipori, once you add the Va'oid of Rebbe, which gave you a number of, it's basically telling you take one third of 217, you get to 72 and a third. So a third of the Saw of the Tzipori, including Vodis the Rebbe, Yesera al Mechza Shel Midboris, is greater than half of the Midboris, which was 72, Shlish Beitza, a third of an egg. So if you take this rereading, you don't have the words Korov in it, but you are able to preserve the Shlish expression that appeared in the original source and apply it as we just did. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue in our Gemara with a quote from a Pasuk and a Tanaic source, Reishis Ariso Seichem. This Pasuk is coming from the context of removing challah, the dough tithe that one removes from his dough and gives it to a Kohen. So the Pasuk mentioned Reishis Ariso Seichem. And we explain that to be Kidei Iso Seichem. Esau is a reference to dough. Ariso Seichem literally is the vessel in which dough was kneaded. So it's the first of your dough. And now, when the Torah makes reference to your dough, it has in mind a specific amount of dough. Well, what is that? V'kama Iso Seichem. How much is your dough? Answer, Kidei Isas Hamidbar. Well, it corresponds to the known dough of the desert. Well, what is that a reference to? V'kama Isas Hamidbar. What is that? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, and here we're getting now into some practical explanation of Reishis Ariso Seichem. So in the Midbar, the Jews gathered mun. And in the context of the mun that they gathered, this was the food, the we'll call the heavenly bread that fell to the Jewish people from which they sustained themselves through their travels in the desert. And it says regarding the mun, V'ha'oimer Asiris Ha'efa, who? The mun is a quantity that is one-tenth of an Efa. Now, an ephah happens to be 3 se'ah. So we're dealing with a quantity that's one-tenth of 3 se'ah. Mikan omru, based on this, it has been taught, Zayin revoyim kemach ve'uid chayeves bechala. That's, the term revoyim is also known as a lug. A lug, there are 4 lug in a kav. So it's 7 lug plus is chayev in chala. That means if you have dough that measures this amount, and it should be pointed out that Rashi goes through a great deal of calculations. We already established earlier that 1 kav has in it 24 beitzim. So a lug, being a quarter of a kav, would be 6 beitzim. So if you talk about 7 lugim, you would be doing 7 times 6, giving you 42 beitzim, but there's also v'oid. So that is the general framework of the calculation, which will get you to over 43 beitzim worth of dough. So mikan omru zayin revoyim kemach v'oid chayeves bechala. That is the amount that if one prepares dough having that quantity, he would have to remove from it the challah tithe. And we said before that the challah tithe is basically 1/24 of the dough that you have made. And that 7 revoyim kemach ve'od is the shiur according to the midboris calculation. Shehein vav shel Yerushalmis. Remember we said that the measures were expanded. So the 7 revoyim kemach ve'od of the midboris standard would be 6 revoyim of, by the Yerushalmi standard, Shehein hey shel tzipori, which are 5 of the tzipori standard. And again, the tzipori was larger than the Yerushalmis by a sixth. So mikan omru, from here we say, ha'eichel kemido zu hareze bori umavurach, one who eats this quantity, this is a healthful amount of food to eat. Yeser al kein ravson, more than this, one is considered ravenous. Pochos mikan, mekukol b'meyav, less than this, he is going to have an upset digestive system. This comment, of course, is based on the fact that this is the amount, the shiva revoim va'od, is the amount that the Kodesh Baruch Hu provided per person on a daily basis. So we figure that is the health, that's the healthful amount of food to eat. We now turn to our Mishnah, which gets us back into questions of a Reuven, and we'll be speaking primarily about dinim relating to a Reuve Chatzeros. Also, we recommend having on hand your Sefer Pirush Chai, the Book of Illustrations. So have the Pirush Chai, page 170 on hand, illustration 29. So before we read the Mishnah, let's just get a feel of what we're going to be discussing. We see a courtyard, a chotzer. We see there a house with a second story to it and a mirpesis. Mirpesis is a balcony. People live off that balcony. And the assumption we're making here in this Mishnah is that the members of the upper story made an Eruv joining their domain amongst themselves, and the people living on the off the chotzer, the lower floor, made an Eruv joining themselves. However, the upper floor did not join together with the lower floor. Rashi points out that the assumption here is that the merpesis is 10 tfochim or more above the ground, so that the fact that they, even though there is a ladder creating access between the two domains, the upper floor with the lower floor, they are not considered as if they are two domains opening one into the other, thereby imposing a restriction of one on the other, unless they would jointly make an Eruv, unifying both domains. We don't say that, but they are considered two separate domains. They would have an option of joining together, but the fact, even if they didn't, they don't impose a restriction one on the other. The question in this Mishnah is going to be different items found in the Chotzer, different phenomenon that are found in the Chotzer, who has use of them? And the heights of those items will be of a major factor in figuring who has the use of them. So we turn to our Mishnah. Anshei chotzer v'anshei merpesis sheshochachu v'lo irvu. They forgot and did not join their respective domains one with the other. Kol shegavoa asoro tvochim l'merpesis. Anything that protrudes in the chotzer, in the courtyard, at a height of more than 10 tvochim, will be given to the use of the mirpesis people. Pochos mikan, if it's less than 10 tvochim, lechotzer. Chuyas habor v'hasela. You can see that in the illustration, you have a pit, and you have the surrounding rim of the pit that has height to it. So that is chuyas habor, The sela is essentially a rock. So if you have a pit with a rim around it, or you have a rock, gevoyim asora tfochim lemirpesis. Pochos mikan lochotzer. Bamedvo mamurim, when do we say this? Bismucha, that's when the chulya sabor or the sela are close to the mirpesis. Avo bemufleges, if there is a gap, a distance, and you can see in the illustration there is a base with an arrow showing the chulya sabor being distant from the mirpesis. Afilu gavo asora tvochim lochotzer, even if it has a height of 10 tvochim, it's still going to be granted to the people in the chotzer for their use. V'ei zohi smucha, what constitutes being close to, kol she'ein rechok arba tvochim, as long as it's not more than 4 handbreadths away. But once the chulya sabor would be more than 4 handbreadths away from the mirpesis, then it's considered as if the Anshei Chotzer have sole control over it and no connection to the mirpesis. So we thereby determine who has control over it. And it goes without saying that when you have an element or an entity that is subject to the control of both, then you would not be allowed to use it. And when we speak about using it, we mean taking things from your domain and putting it on whatever we're talking about. And likewise, taking things off of it and bringing it back into your domain. Let us continue in the Gemara, pointing out that we have a double underline. It's a marking, and it's featured under our Mivneh heading. These are Dugmois Shonos. These are different examples of that which we mentioned before, different things that are protruding in the Chotzer above ground, and who gets what. And as the Gemara goes on, different terms will appear, and they actually illustrate principles, and what the Gemara will show us here, it's in effect a review for us of topics we have seen already. Pshita, the Gemara goes on, and note, of course, we have a long marking. That means that all of these lines fall under the category Pshita, meaning there doesn't need to be any explanation of that which the examples we see in the upcoming lines. This will climax with a question that we'll see later. So the Gemara says, Pshita lo zeh bepesach v'lo zeh bepesach. If you have an entity that both have equal access to. Pesach means something that is available for use with ease. Hainu chaloin shebein shtei chatzeros. That was learned already. That is a reference to the case of a window or a door between two courtyards. In other words, if there's a wall between two courtyards and you have a chalon in that wall, that would be something that is represents ease of use for both sides. And we know the rules regarding that. When you have a chalon shebein shtei chatzeros, that makes it such that the two courtyards can join together if they want, or they can remain separate. Rashi explains, Lo zeh bepesach v'lo zeh bepesach, shnei chatzerus shelo irvu, two courtyards that didn't join together, yesh rishus achas smucho lohen v'noch l'shtein l'shtamish bo. They might very well have an entity, a domain, near the two of them that presents easy use. Kepesach zeh shu noach likones, like a doorway that's easy to enter. Hainu chalon shebein shtei chatzeros, Rashi goes on, klomar, ho lo mi bayalon maidinei. This is not something we need to discuss, what is its din, im osur l'shteim o mutur, whether it's osur, it's prohibited to both, or allowed to both. Tainu chalon shebein shtei chatzeros, disnan bei. This is the case that we've learned before, regarding which we have learned, rotsu echad marvin, rotsu shnayim marvin. If they should want to make one joint, a joining the two courtyards together, that is an option. And if they want to remain as separate courtyards, that too is an option. If they didn't make a joint eruv, so they can't put things from their courtyard, let's say, into that doorway. Im rishus shel arba, if the doorway has a dimension of 4 tvachim, the ein rishus pachos midalid. Let us continue. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Another situation, lozeh bezrika v'lozeh bezrika. Zrika is a term, literally means throwing, but it represents something that is not of easy use. In other words, it's use with effort. So what is an example of something, of one entity that represents non-ease of use for both courtyards? Hainu kisil shebein shnei chatzeros. That's the case of a wall dividing two courtyards, a wall, and with, let's just say, a solid wall dividing two courtyards. Assuming the wall is 4 tfachim thick, we have learned in the past that both courtyards are prohibited. In other words, neither courtyard can take stuff from their courtyard and put it on top of this dividing wall. So that if you have something that is equally difficult of use for both, so we know that from the din of Kosel Shebein Shnei Chatzeros. Lozeh b'shilshul v'lozeh b'shilshul, the term shilshul has to do with lowering something, so that if the two courtyards have equal use through lowering, what is the case? Hainu charitz shebein shtei chatzeros. That's the case of the ditch between two chatzeros, that if you have a ditch that is 10 tvachim deep and both chatzeros have equal access to it, neither one can use it. Just like we said by the wall, neither one can use it because they're both on equal footing, both having difficult access. Here it's both, their access is described as shilshul. So neither one can lower stuff from their courtyard into the ditch. The ditch spoken about is a ditch that is 4 tvachim across and 10 tvachim deep. Another case, lozeh b'pesach v'lozeh b'zrika. If you have an entity that for one chotzer, it's b'pesach, it's called relatively easy use. But for the other chotzer, it's b'zrika, it's more difficult access. In such a case, we will grant the use of that entity to the one that is bepesach. Hainu de Rabo bar Rav Huna Omer Rav Nachman. That's the case of Rabo bar Rav Huna that we have learned in the past. That's a case of a wall between two courtyards, but the courtyards are of a different height one to the other, so that the wall that is measures 10 tfachim, that's on one side, it will measure 10 tfachim, but the other chotzer, on the other side of the wall, which is higher up, so there, the wall, the top of the wall is within 10 tfachim. So that chotzer that is within 10 tfachim, that's less than 10 tfachim from it, from the top of the wall to the chotzer, will have exclusive use of that wall. In other words, they can take stuff from their chotzer and put it on the top of the wall. Lozeh b'pesach v'lozeh b'shilshul, a case where one courtyard has easy access and the other one only has access to it through lowering into it. Hainu d'Rav Shizvi Omer Rav Nachman. That's the case also we have learned in the past of Rav Shizvi, which involves again a case of two differing levels. Rashi says, lozeh b'shilshul, lozeh b'shilshul, let's back up here. That would be the case of a ditch that one chotzer lowers into it a depth of 10 tfachim, and the other one is less. There is a Rashi that describes this. Lozeh b'pesach v'lozeh b'shilshul kigon chotzer gavoa min hatel asora de'eino mishtameshes olav b'choil elo b'shilshul. If you have a chotzer that is positioned above a mound. In other words, you go to the edge of the chatzar and there is a mound below it, and v'chaverta shavalo, and the other chatzar is equal to it. So that's a slightly different description than what we gave, but the idea remains the same, where one chotzer has access only by lowering something 10 tfachim to get to it, and the other chotzer, being positioned lower down, has access to the top of this entity almost equal to the floor level of the chotzer. As long as it's less than 10 tfachim, that's called Pesach. So far, all of those cases are well known. We should point out that the citation on the side of the Gemara back on Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, where Rav Shizvi appeared, in fact, is, like we explained, the case of a ditch between two chatzeros, where the two chatzeros were on different levels. The higher chatzer needed would need to lower, in order to get to the bottom of the ditch, it would be a depth of 10 tefachim or more, and the other chatzer, located on a lower level, as far as it's concerned, the ditch is almost at on the same level as the chotzer floor. That's the Gemara that we had learned back on Ayin Zayin. And of course, if you have a Pirush Chai, you can always refer back to illustrations relevant to the Gemara. So far, all of those things are what we call Pshita. And now, a question. Lozeb is Shilshu v'lozeb is Riko Mai. What happens when you have something that for one chotzer, its access to it is through lowering, and for the other chotzer, its access is through placing something higher up? You'll see an illustration of this in the Pirush Chai, illustration 32. So you have that shaded entity, we can call it a mound, but vis-a-vis the bottom chotzer, it requires picking something up to a height of 10 tefachim. Regarding the upper level chotzer, you get to the top of this shaded entity, this mound, by lowering 10 tefachim. Who is considered the one in control of that unit? Omar Rav says Shneim Asurim. Because they're considered on equal footing, lowering Shilshul and Zrika, he views as equal levels of difficulty, and hence they have equal access to it, they impose a restriction one on the other. So neither one can use the top of that entity, that shaded entity, or the mound featured in illustration 32. That's Rav's opinion. Ushmuel Omar, Noisin Oisoi Leze Sheba Shilshul. Shmuel says that Shilshul use is considered a more easy form of access than the Zrika use. Shelozeb tashmisho benachas, velozeb tashmisho bekoshe. One, for this one it's easier, and for the Zrika one it's harder. And the rule states, v'chol dover shetashmisho lezeb benachas, velozeb bekoshe, noisnim oisoi lezeb shetashmisho benachas. When you have these two powers competing with one another, we give it to the one who has easier use. And Shmuel sees that Shilshul, relative to Zrika, Shilshul being the easier access. As we go on in the Gemara, we have to note the under our Mivneh heading triangles that appear in two different directions, and this marking system will continue to pay Dalid Omid Beis. It was a rather long sugya at hand, trying to bring Rias to Rav and alternatively to Shmuel. So when you see the triangle facing up, so that will be an attempt to support Shmuel's approach, which favors Shilshul over Zrika. But as the Gemara continues, you'll notice on Pei Dalid Omid Aleph, toward the lower quarter of the Omid, an inverted triangle, and this will not be the only time the inverted triangle appears. Another one will appear on Pei Dalid Omid Beis as well. So as we said, these will show you that the Gemara tries to prove both sides as the discussion unfolds. So we start with the first triangle, which, as we said, the point is facing up, so that is in favor of, that's trying to show, to favor Shmuel's approach. Tanan, a quote from our Mishnah. Anshei chotzer v'anshei mirpeses sheshochachu v'lo irvu. The people from the balcony and the people from the courtyard did not join their two domains, one with the other. But as we said earlier, internally, the mirpeses made their own eruv, and the people in the chotzer made their own eruv. And the Mishnah says, kol shegavo asor atvochim l'mirpeses pochos mikan l'chotzer. Something that has a height of 10 tfochim goes to the mirpeses. But now, unlike what we said before, the Gemara makes a certain assumption, and this assumption changes the picture. We will be referring to a diagram on page 171, picture 33, in a moment. The Gemara goes on to say, and we should have pointed out a moment before that this triangled attempt to show in favor of Shmuel is a long attempt. That's why you see we have a long marking taking into the third line from the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. So we have the Mirpeses, we've got the Chotzer, we've got something protruding above ground in the Chotzer. Kol Salka Daitoch, my Mirpeses, the Havamina, is that the term Mirpeses really is a reference to B'nai Aliyah. Now here you must take a look at illustration 33, and that in contrast with illustration 29, the term Mirpeses is a reference to people living in an attic located above the Mirpeses as opposed to living right off the Mirpeses. So now you have to imagine people living in that attic, as you can see illustrated in picture in illustration 33. Their access to the item protruding above ground in the chotzer is through shilshul. They would have to lower something down in order to get to it. The Gemara continues at the top line of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, V'amai koru lei mirpeses. Why are they called, the people living in that attic, why are they called people of the mirpeses? De kosalki b'mirpeses. They go up to their dwellings from the balcony. In other words, they arrive on the balcony and then climb up from there to the attic. Alma, well, what do we see from this? Making all of these assumptions, what do we see? Kol lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika. When you have competing forces, you have the B'nai Aliyah having access to this protrusion through shilshul, and you have the B'nai Chotzer that have access to this protrusion through zrika, which means throwing upwards to it. Who wins? Noisnim oisoi lozeh sheh b'shilshul. It said in the Mishnah that it says if it's a height of 10 tefachim, lemirpeses, it goes to those people. Now that's like Shmuel and unlike Rav. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav, Kida Omar Rav Huna, as Rav Huna explains later on, Le'oison Hadorim Bamirpeses, a reference to people living right off the Mirpeses and not above the Mirpeses, Hochinami Le'oison Hadorim Bamirpeses. We're referring here to those people living right off the Mirpeses. Now, as such, since they're living right off the Mirpeses, their access to the item protruding in the Chotzer is an access call that we called before Pesach. Pesach means easy access. So when you have competing forces and one is Bepesach and the other is Bezrika, so we've already established that you give it to the one that is Bepesach. As the Gemara said on Omid Beis, under the Pshita section of the Gemara. we have here, by way of markings, we have a bracketed section. Now, the brackets here are not really designed for skipping, but rather we have a note on the side where we've mentioned, Besoch HaSegurim Yesh Nisoyon L'Tchoyis HaTshuva Shel Rav Avol L'Loi Hatzlocha. There is going to be an attempt to dispel, to reject Rav's answer, the answer given just now on behalf of Rav, but this rejection of answer will not be successful. And that's why afterwards the Gemara will pick up the discussion again with a new source, at which point you can see an attempt again to prove in favor of Shmuel. But in the meantime, we just explained that the Mishnah was speaking about when it said mirpeses, of people living right off the mirpeses. And hence, relative to the chotzer, they were bepesach, and the people in the chotzer were bezrika. Ihachi, emo seifa. Well, if you accept this answer, let's continue, and we read the seifa of the Mishnah, and it said there, pochos mikan lechotzer. If it's less, if the protrusion is less than 10 tfachim, so then it will go to the people of the chotzer. Now, there's a certain assumption that we have to make here, and that is that the chotzer, the mirpeses, that is, and we're talking about people living right off the mirpeses, is not very high off the chotzer. That's an important assumption to make as we go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, based on the Seifa, Amai, why do you say that if the protrusion is less than 10 tfachim from the chotzer floor, does it go to the people in the chotzer? Amai, lo zeh bepesach, lo zeh bepesach hu. It's easy access to both the Anshei Chotzer and the Anshei Mirpeses. Rashi points out on the third narrow line, the hostam mirpeses lo gavia tuva. Your average mirpeses is not very high off the mirpeses floor, and therefore if the protrusion is less than 10 tfachim, you can assume that it's within 10 tfachim of the mirpeses, namely you go downwards from the mirpeses, but not very much, and from the floor of the chutz you're going to go up to the top of this protrusion, but it itself, the protrusion is less than 10 tfachim from the floor, making it such that both have easy access to it, and as a result of that, both shall be prohibited. As we said before, the rule being that when there's equal access, if it's equally difficult access or it's equally easy access, but the equality of access makes it such that neither one can use it. So why does this Mishnah say that it's lechotzer? So the Gemara answers, my lechotzer. What does the term lechotzer in the Mishnah mean? It means af lechotzer u'shneim asura. It means even the chotzer, and both are restricted. Hochi nami mistabro. And this pshat, this explanation is also likely that when we say lechotzer, it means af lechotzer, and we are talking about people living right off the mirpeses. Now, why is this most logical? Why do you say hochi nami mistabro? Midikotoni seifa. From the fact that the continuation of the Mishnah says, bameh devom amurim, when do we say what we have said so far in the Mishnah? Besmucha. Smucha means in close proximity. Avobumufleges, if there is a distance, there's a gap, afilu gavoa asorot fochim lechotzer, even if the protruding item is 10 tfachim, it will go, it says here, it's lechotzer. But what is my lechotzer? What does that mean? So before we go further, let's just review the case. We're dealing with something that is mufleges, some protrusion in the chotzer that's not close. It's more than 4 tfachim away from the mirpeses, and it has a height of 10 tfachim. And it says here it's lechotzer, my lechotzer. What does that mean, lechotzer? Ilema lechotzer v'shori. If you are claiming it means that they get use of this, amai, why should they get use of it? Rishusa de travayuhu. It's a domain that they have equal access to. Now Rashi is really right on the spot. He says, you might say, well, not so. You might say that as far as the mirpeses people, they have to there's an element of zrika. That's the difficult access because they have to compensate for the gap and lowering as well. So wouldn't that make them having more difficulty in access because they have these two elements? They have the gap plus the lowering. So Rashi says no. The gap, the lateral gap plus the lowering is equal to the throwing upwards of the chotzer. So they, as the Gemara says here, they are considered. It's considered reshusa de travayu. Both having same equal level access. And as we know, as we've said already a few times, that makes both the people from the Mirpesis and the people from the Chotzer forbidden. Elamai lechotzer. So what are you going to have to say that the term lechotzer means? Af lechotzer ushnehem asurin. That's the pshat we're saying in the Seifa. So hachinami, so too, my lechotzer, in the section just before this, which said Pachos Mikan Lechotzer, by the same token, it too will mean Af Lechotzer Ushneim Asurin. That it means even Lechotzer, not only the Mirpesis, but even Lechotzer, and both are prohibited. So far, Shema Mino, that's conclusive proof that Rav's answer before is an acceptable answer. However, it's not an illustration, so that the Mishnah so far is not an illustration of lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika, that we need to choose. We're looking for a case that we need to choose one over the other, as Rav explained earlier, because the attempted proof to Shmuel was making an assumption that you were talking about people living above the Mirpesis. So with that in mind, we have to pause over here because we are presenting Shurim in the context of the Daf Yomi, and this particular sugya goes on to pay Dalet Amid Beis. But before we actually close, let's just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.